You're listening to the Self-Made Podcast. My name's Mike Coffey, and joining me are my co-hosts, Sam Ramundi and Jeff and Jess Bakey.
I will say, I've been getting a lot of DMs. The last episode we did, I got a couple DMs about people really enjoying the Linktree conversation and like why it's important to like push blog traffic and shit like that. So that was kind of cool to see that feedback.
People don't understand how important that is to like use everything you can to grow your properties. You have to do that because you're just helping someone else. So I'll wake up. Just give me a second. I'm like, it's been a brutal morning. So
you're fine.
A brutal morning of grogginess and sleepiness. Mm-hmm. So tired.
You should just go snort some espresso.
Whoa. I mean,
did you just say espresso with an X?
He did.
He's not allowed
to. I'm trying.
You're one of those. She said
I can't get an espresso machine until I start saying it properly.
Thank you for correcting yourself.
Jess, you stand your ground. I'm 100% behind this. This is
God
amateur
damn,
hour
I was about
bullshit.
To be so mad at you. You fucking hate me.
The tribe has spoken.
Oh, we're live.
Oh, we've been live.
We can start live. It whenever. Were we live when I was making fun of Jeff for saying espresso?
Oh, for sure we were.
That's for sure going to be
That's
going to
be the cold open. That's going to be the cold open. And then it'll go into the intro.
Espresso sorry to anybody with an who X. Says, sorry to anybody who says espresso with an X, but guys, there's no X
Sam,
in espresso.
We don't apologize here.
Don't hate me.
No.
Anyway, no good morning, everyone. So yeah, we were talking before about how I'm real proud of myself because I finally decided to hire out for a project, which like, and not the full project. Good. I'm just going to say it's not the full project, but it's really hard for me to ask for help. And as like someone who, you know,
it's easier to pay for it.
I know. But as like a front-facing content creator, right? Like people watch your content and then especially like I think the being a woman thing and people being like, she's not really doing it. Her husband's doing it off camera. Like that type deal.
Chris
like
is
I
so
get a
good.
Little. Did you see the video of me doing his bike room where he's just only riding his bike, but I renovated the whole room? Because that
no,
one is like
so good.
The comments on that one are great. People like,
I imagine it's like
who's that guy?
40 bikes with the super high handlebars.
Like basically,
the giant wheel up front and the tiny one in the back.
Oh, totally.
We need
and that's
that
soundboard. Like, why is that guy? Why is that guy just riding his bike and not helping? Like, that's all the comments on that video. But anyway, so I
Sam's,
after
Sam's
doing
trying to
laundry,
hang a sheet of drywall on the ceiling. She's like, Chris, help! And he's like,
no. He's like, I can't. I've got to PR this mountain. Like, I can't do it.
Sorry. Anyway,
it's true though. But he's not joking.
It's so true. But yeah, after spending a month being sick and then being behind and then.
Yeah.
First of all, when you take a month off, you're not just a month behind. You're like 2.5 months behind because then you're catching up on the things you're behind on and you still have to keep up with current deadlines. So after doing the laundry room for a month, I was like, I do not want to do drywall and framing for the rest of the basement. So I'm hiring out to do it. And so while I'm getting other things done, my contractor's crew is down there, you know, framing, drywalling, insulating. And it's just been amazing because I feel way more productive than ever knowing that something is being outsourced. And I don't know why I get so hung up on doing everything myself when this has literally made my life 25 times easier.
Like, I feel like the drywall and like the, I mean, I guess it's part of the content. I don't know. I just feel like drywall and mudding sucks. Like, it's just so, it's just like such like slog work. Yeah. It's like the worst part of the process.
You're just going to zoom through that in your video anyway.
Yeah.
Right. And so
like,
that's what I was,
who cares?
Yeah, but that's what I was saying too. Is I was like, honestly, you know, this video is going to start with a recap of all the work I did in the laundry room anyway, because that's still in the basement. And this is a full basement transformation start to finish. So like, clearly I can do it. Clearly I spent a month doing it. But what I am going to talk about is the difference in pricing for doing it yourself versus hiring out in that video. Because for reals, it was like twice the cost of getting a full room in that basement done just to have drywall framing and insulation done in the other half of the basement. So like, I am very transparent in those things and I'm going to share those things in my content. I always do. I keep it pretty real, I think, in my content in terms of like renovation realities and what I want to do versus don't want to do. But it is definitely, it's definitely hard when you feel like you have to show yourself doing everything in your content because you're worried that like people are going to be like, you're a sham, you know?
Right.
Nah. That sucks that you feel that way because it just doesn't, you don't need to. Sorry.
No, I just think that would be good for people to use, like, because that's, you know, that's just useful information, people knowing how much it'll cost to do it themselves versus hiring it out.
And let's be honest, no one's going to believe you actually did it anyway. It was totally Chris and your dad.
It was your dad. Yeah.
Facts. It was me cutting them out in my editing so that no one could see they really did all the work.
You only actually laid like three tiles.
Got you.
Guys, you have to do all this, but you have to be wearing full green suits. So you can just edit them out in post.
Someone accused me of that once. Someone that accused me of that once. And of course, it was a video too where like it was just time lapse. And I was like, you caught me. It was my twin brother in a wig the whole time. It just wasn't me. Sorry.
That's so weird.
The amount of times that people think things are edited, like it's going to take more time to do that than to just do what you saw in the video. Like,
also, too, like, thank you so much for having that much faith in my animation and editing skills. Like, I'm sorry. Maybe I should have been a freaking movie editor or like a 3D animator and not a content creator if you think I'm that good at like transposing someone to look like me in this footage. I chose the wrong field.
That's a lot of mental gymnastics. People are really sad. That's a real bummer that people are that sad.
Yeah, it is a bummer, but it is what it is. But I don't know. I mean, Mike, like you have employees and we talk about outsourcing. Like, I guess it's different. I don't know. Maybe it's just different to do it the first time versus like having people helping. I don't know. I don't know why it's such a weird feeling.
You're going to pull off you pulled off the Band-Aid and now you're going to be like, what else can I outsource? You're going to be like wanting to do it as much as you can now. Like as soon as you do it, you're like, man, I don't want to do this anymore either. Other people will do it for money. I mean, obviously I have to distribute and delegate work because I have employees, but you know, I have a couple subcontractors I work with who do, I mean, there's things we can't do. Like we can't install in California because that's the law here. You have to be a licensed contractor to install here. like we can't do cabinetry, anything that affects or touches anything that's load bearing, which is cabinets, you can't touch in California. So you have to be licensed for that. I'm working towards that, but I don't, even when I get that, I'm not really sure I want to do that in house.
I would say, honestly, I wouldn't want to deal with it anyway.
Yeah, we just want to build stuff. Yeah. And I've got a guy who does all of our cabinetry installs, and he is amazing. He doesn't want to build any cabinets. He just wants to install them. So
that's
like when you find these, when you find these relationships that just work and you're offloading this stuff to people, it's just makes a lot of sense. So like I'm trying to figure out how to get like an office manager and figure out all that stuff and how to make that work because I can't catch up. Like I just cannot catch up with administrative stuff. I'll wake up in the morning to like 100 to 200 emails every day. And not all of those I need to see. A lot of them I can just delete really quick, but like 30 of them are, I need to at least look at and answer yes or no. And like 5 to 8 of those, I actually need to put actual information together and propose stuff. So, I can't be going through all that stuff anymore. I can't be doing a lot of this stuff anymore. Honestly, it's just getting overwhelming and tough.
I would say it's also just opening up to that every day is just like, ugh. And especially if you can find someone to just sift through the bullcrap.
Mm-hmm. But the other thing is a problem. So here's something kind of a different conversation, but I'll go back to it. But I'm waking up in the morning and I'm like, I open up my phone immediately and I get overwhelmed. And it's something I actually have to, I was having this conversation yesterday. I have to stop doing that because it's starting my day out on the wrong foot. Yeah, it's like so bad. Like I actually today I didn't open up my email. I still haven't opened up my email and it's kind of making me anxious, but I'm going to delegate my time to actually not look at emails until like 11 a.m. moving forward for a while and see how that, I mean,
smart.
The 3-hour difference is just like the clients or whoever's emailing me, they're not going to notice the difference. They don't care. They don't need, I always try to be really Johnny on the spot with responding to things. But I think it creates, I'm creating my own trap by doing that. If I fall into that too much, I'm just like, I become a slave to, my email inbox and I just can't do that anymore. So I'm trying to force myself and like be like, hey, you do email time at 11 and then I'll do it again at like 3 p.m. or something like that. But back to our conversation, it'd be really nice to get someone who can go through that stuff and who is more attuned to doing that for me. I don't know what that means. I mean, someone who's just, that's their job. Like, I just rather pay someone to do that all day long and kind of go through stuff. So, and it's really scary, like handing off those things too. It's similar in the vein of having, you know, Sam having someone do the drywall for you. But it's also very similar in the sense that it's not like really glamorous. It's not the glamorous part of the job, like checking emails and hanging drywall. They're probably the least glamorous part of the job. And it's just, it's best to offload that stuff, especially if you're going to scale and do more. And I feel like Sam, you're going to start doing and having a lot more of this stuff come up. And if you build some relationships with some good contractors and have them doing that for you, it's going to become this mutually beneficial, like self-feeding cycle. And you guys are going to have like this really great system worked out and you'll work. I mean, it's just cool when you build relationships with new vendors and stuff like that too. So it starts to make like, you make processes and procedures within your business and within their business and things just work smooth. Like they're really smooth. And you can be like, hey, I don't know who this person is that you're talking about. Hey, Bill. Hey, Sarah. We got another job coming up. I need you to price up the drywall for this. And then they price it up. And you guys, once I know for me, if I have a client who comes to me regularly, I start to give them better pricing. I start to give them better timelines and I start to work with them more. And I feel like once you get those relationships with these other vendors and you're offloading stuff, they'll do the same thing. So it's just
it's also just recognizing it is such a huge first step because it's hard for anyone to learn to accept that. If like you know, it's messing with your mentality and it's stressing you out. So that's the first sign, like, okay, I got to see if I can outsource this. It's just not worth you mentally spiraling. Even us, it's not even not hiring someone. We've been working on our basement. And yesterday I had to cut all this trim. I was going to cut all the trim myself because I have all this pine to use up. But then I looked at Home Depot and I can get one stick of it for $7. So for all the trim in the basement, primed is like $240. Why would I waste
so
my
much
time?
Cheaper. It's so much cheaper. Yeah, exactly. And then you're going to have to cut it down and prime it.
Cut it,
still.
Sand it.
Yes. Oh. Doesn't make any sense.
It's so much work. Things, like, I know. Oh,
man.
Never mind. Yeah.
It definitely makes sense, though, like, you know, you to look at that. And there are so many times I always say there's a price that I put on my sanity. Like, is this price gonna, like, you know, be what my sanity is worth? So, like, is my sanity worth $240? Yeah, my sanity is worth way more than $240.
Yeah, it's just like so much more worth it. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, but I need to use the stuff I have. And it's like, yeah, it's true. It's good to like not let things go to waste, but you'll find uses for that pine. And and it's just like, man, like $240 is just a drop in the hat. So yeah, I'm glad you're doing that because that sounds miserable. Like really miserable.
Proud of you.
I don't know. Yeah. What are you guys
doing?
How
is your basement coming along? Yeah. I want to know about the basement because we're both in basement hell right now.
So when we started woodworking, we started in our basement, and then right after we moved all of our tools and everything to the shop, we had this like fluke crazy storm, and the front of our house is exposed and the back is like buried, so it's kind of like in a bowl, and we got all this water that came into our basement.
We got 2 feet of snow in April, and then it like started melting
because you said you got like 6 inches of water in your basement, didn't you?
Yeah, we had this like freak storm here, and then we live very close to the water, and so it was like the rainfall plus the high tide was like a recipe for disaster, and there was so much groundwater had nowhere to go that it literally busted holes through the foundation of our house and was like pouring into our basement through the foundation walls. So like I had to get the entire foundation waterproofed, get like a French drain system put in our basement. It was like such an investment, but we have had a couple bad storms since then where some other people on our block have flooded and like knock on every freaking piece of wood in this dang office. But like we've been good so far. And this is why I feel comfortable now finishing the basement because I feel like we're finally waterproof. But yeah, that was not fun.
I remember you sending me the video and you're like, my wall is peeing. I was like, you sent me that text and I was like, what? And then the video came through and it's just like a stream coming through the wall.
No. Guys, I'm a 34-year-old woman, and I sent him a text. I was like, my walls are peeing.
It looked, I mean, I hope it looked I never like
grow
that,
up.
So.
I hope I never grow up. Please I'm just
don't.
Saying.
Like, please don't.
We won't.
Yeah, there's no point.
Yeah, because it's Coffee, I like posted a thing of me like walking through like 6 inches of water, and he texted me. He's like, are you okay? Do you need anything? And I literally, like, the first thing was like, I didn't even tell him if I was okay. I just was like, my walls are peeing.
My walls are peeing.
Like, she's fine.
Oh, okay.
Glad
that's
you're safe.
Bad, right?
Oh, right? We're upset about
that. Right? Worse is like, we were so not equipped. I was using all of my Total Boat like epoxy buckets to freaking collect all the water.
They're this big.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Oh my
goodness. But yeah, no, water in the basement, especially when you have important things. Like, if I had tools down there, I would have freaked out. How did you guys deal with that?
For sure.
We didn't. We missed it by like a week. So luckily we had everything moved to the shop, and we got so lucky.
Most everything. We still had a few things, and we just, like, we have some shoddy shelving down there, and we just tried to move as much as we could up so it wasn't sitting in there.
And then we just cut the drywall. I mean, everything was essentially destroyed from the shop being in the basement anyways. Like, the floors were trashed, there was paint on the walls, and so we just cut the drywall, took everything to the dump, and then I bought the drywall. In reality, what I should have did was just paid someone to come in and just fix it and get it back to like a painted base, because then I could have just plowed it out,
because it then took us 4 to 5 years to finally the drywall.
And the workbench con trip was like the kick in the butt. So yeah, now we have the ceilings painted, the walls painted, the flooring down. There's a few like transition strips I got to do. Well, then now we're at the trim. And then we'll have the gym set up. We're going to put the office downstairs and have a nice little recording area.
Sick.
Oh, it's going to be so nice.
I can get my office awesome. Off
it's going to be awesome.
Table.
Yeah, no more kitchen table office.
I've only been up here for the last 5 years. Yeah. It'll be good.
That's exciting. When do you think you'll be done?
Yeah, a couple weeks, hopefully.
Hopefully. It says a couple weeks, so I'm going to estimate like 3 months.
In the fall?
Yeah.
Nah.
Nah.
Yes, because golf season is coming up, so.
Golf is coming. Golf is coming quick.
That's going to be the
But fall. We're going to go Friday or Saturday and get trim. And I think just buying that trim and not having to stress about sanding it, priming it, doing all that, I can just spray it the color we need, cut it, touch it up when it's put nailed on the wall, and good to go. That's it.
When you get in the Peloton, so we can race. I need a good motivation to get back on.
He's not allowed until the basement's finished.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell
so
him.
So hurry, dude.
Yeah, I will. Also, hurry. Budget. You know, those things aren't cheap.
Right. They're so expensive.
Yeah, but you
ridiculous.
Can get them. I looked up
Amazon
Marketplace. Secondhand.
Oh, you're going to get a secondhand one?
That's people smart. Are just yeah. practically giving them away.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Everyone bought them during COVID.
I thought I was going to be in shape.
Well, yeah. Well, also, too, so many people bought them over the pandemic because, like, what else was there to do? And now they're like, well, right. I don't need this anymore.
It's been sitting there.
Burgers are pretty
for
good.
Years now.
I do like candy.
I do like candy a lot. 50% off candy. That's Sam talking.
Hey, you sounded just like me.
I know, I nailed it. My Sam.
No, except
really
the candy's
good.
Now 70% off from Valentine's Day, so like extra win, okay?
Dual win.
You have a Valentine's Day candy cabinet.
You don't. You video. Should see my entire fridge is like all sour candies because they taste better when they're cold. But like literally the entire, like, I have one whole sidewall of my fridge just filled with like sour candies.
It's like one of those stereotypical like college movies. You like they open the fridge and it's all beers, but for Sam it's just sour candies.
It's just sour candies. Like, that's literally it. Again, I'm a 34-year-old woman, and that is what my. I would love that. Do you know how many times I've tagged them in things, like hoping they notice me, and they don't notice me?
Just never a palette is going to show up one day.
Notice
They're
me.
One of those, I'm like, yeah, exactly. I don't even know if I need payment. Just send me a palette of Sour Patch Kids. Like, I'll figure out my mortgage somehow. Maybe they'll take the green ones. I don't love those the most.
That's like Justin Maybe with the Trulies. He's been trying to get a Truly sponsorship since they came out.
Priorities. Gosh.
Yeah, probably. Ask me Vans. Like, do I need a Vans sponsorship? Yes, actually.
Yes, you do.
You
absolutely
need a Vans sponsorship.
Yeah. That's 100% needs to happen.
That's a must. That's ridiculous. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, that just makes sense. That's that's part of your brand at this point.
Exactly.
That'd be sick. Aren't they owned by Dickies? Or I think Dickies and Vans are the same company. I'm pretty sure you could
really
work your way into that. I'm pretty sure it's all the same holdings company.
I looked this up. I'm going to figure it out. Yeah, he's like, to surprise Sam with a van sponsorship.
No, Dickies reached out to me to like work together, and then like just sent me a bunch of clothing, and then I was like, so what's going on here? We were doing the email dance of like figuring out what's going on, and they're like, oh, we don't really want to work with anyone. We just wanted to send you some clothes. I was like, what? It's like the weirdest thing ever. They sent me like four pairs of pants, like three hoodies, like four or five shirts, like beanies and stuff. And then they like, yeah, we're not really working with anyone. I was like, why'd we do this? Like, I don't understand. So I looked into like
said that.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I didn't. Thanks for the clothes, I guess. It was just really bizarre. I don't know if they were like getting their feet in the water or whatever. I don't know what was going on, but I looked into the Dickies more because I like Dickies. I wear Dickies a lot, but yeah, they own Vans. Anyway, I just looked that up because I was being a creeper. That's what I do.
Well, so listen, I just wanted to see if you want to hit him back up and be like, listen, I know you don't want to work with me, but
yeah,
you know a friend who wants to work with Vans. So, like, how do we?
I know this girl. she's been wearing Vans. Since
maybe you've heard of Ford. She works with Vans.
I do think I actually like have tried to do the math on how many pairs of Vans I've owned in my entire life, and I probably could have bought an entire store, like an actual flagship store.
Oh, that'd be cool. I had a weird thing happen. I was talking to Jeff about Meta reached out to me.
Ooh, and
like
one
thing,
of those calls.
And I was, no, it was like, we want to work with you on content. And I was like, this is a scam.
Whoa.
And I went into the email and it was from their thing, like from the real thing. And I was like, okay. So I kind of like dissected it and I was like, okay, this does look legit. So I responded, yes, I'm interested. So it's this thing for Instagram where they're rolling out achievements and you can like do these challenges almost like they're like video game, because everything has to be video gamified, it seems like these days.
Yeah, I hate this already so much.
Yeah, yeah. So I said yes. So they're like, okay, well, they needed me to make a real post yesterday. So I haven't been like really aggressively posting on Instagram just because it's just accessible.
Instagram.
And like everything's just like, it's like all over the place. I mean, I'm still on there doing stories and interacting with the community and stuff, but like putting content on there is like really low priority for me. So I put a reel up and like I put my phone away because I was heading to a client meeting yesterday, and I opened my phone up later and it's like the most engagement I've seen on a post in like a year and a half. And I was talking with Jeff and I'm like, look at this numbers on this thing. Like they're obviously throttling all of our stuff unless it works for them to test some stuff. Like it's such it's so ridiculous. Like why are they doing this? I'm getting comments and engagement from followers that I used to get that stuff from regularly. I used to get lots of engagement on those things, and lately it's just been awful. And I just haven't seen them in a while. It's literally a post I put up like 4 months ago. I just reused the same exact post. And people are like, wow, how have I never seen this? It was a jig. How have I never seen this jig before? It's like, not only have I used this jig a million times in my content, yeah, this is the exact same post from a few months ago. And
wait,
the reason
so
you're
funny
not seeing
you
it.
You said this because it popped up for me first. Like
I know. It was being pushed to everyone first.
Right. And it popped up first. So like, I didn't realize you were working with Meta on this. But yeah, no, like I'm telling you, there are
it's at 130,000 views in 24 hours.
It's crushing it.
I was like, what the heck? I mean, I haven't had views like that since like fall, not last year, but the year before. Like, I mean, views were like that were happening back then, but it hasn't been like that in a long time. I haven't had a video hit a million views, but like once in the last year. It's pretty ridiculous. But either way, I just think it's so weird that how they utilize the platform and throttle things. I mean, obviously people can get engagement if they just put them in front of people. I mean, it's probably just a saturation
yeah,
thing, I guess.
Right.
I mean, I guess I'm assuming they're just...
I feel like they're just proving that they have ultimate control and they flipped a switch and boom, you get engagement. Yeah.
So our engagement on Instagram is like a roller coaster. Like I'll have a good couple weeks and just crush it. Everything will get 100,000 views. We just had that video get over a million likes. Likes, not views.
Wow.
And then now my last...
That's crazy.
My last,
hell,
like,
that's crazy.
My last like four posts have just been turds. But then also a lot of my engagement, on Instagram comes from Facebook, which is super annoying because it's just not the same kind of engagement. And we also did the challenges thing.
But through Facebook.
Through Facebook. So it was like, get 100,000 views and here's $50, or, you know, post 12 times this month and here's another $100 or something like that. I don't think they have it on
like
there anymore.
A tier system.
Yeah, it was interesting. But even that, like, we were crushing it on Facebook forever. And now the last like month, it's just been, the video will crush it on Facebook on Instagram. I know it's confusing,
right?
But I'll get hundreds of thousands of views on Facebook through Instagram. But then the video I post to Facebook will get zero engagement. It's the most annoying
thing ever.
Have you thought
about not cross-posting and then only posting on Facebook? Is there a value in that? I think I'm going to turn it off because I'm going to start putting all of our YouTube videos.
To be honest.
I mean, it might be worth doing and just posting
it
the exact same time.
You should put your YouTube videos.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to for sure. Like, we need to grow that over there.
Boomers
are
going to love that.
I need to get it on over
there. Do it for the boomers.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm trying to grow that over there.
Yeah, you should, because the monetization on Facebook is pretty solid when you're able to actually post.
Probably
like,
because it's
consistently
dying.
Yeah, well, another thing too is, here's what I'm finding on Facebook. So I've been kind of deep diving my Facebook a little bit because my analytics in terms of how much I'm making have been a lot lower lately. What I'm finding is, like, I've been posting these like longer form things and all they want to do is push reels so hard on Facebook right now. So I am going like in on posting reels on Facebook because they're monetized. So you can still make money off of ads on reels on Facebook if you are eligible, but they're pushing them so hard. Like you'll see if you scroll through your Facebook app, there are several instances where they will just pop reels up in that scrolling and in those horizontal bars to try to get you to watch. So I'm going to try to now basically pull back on the longer form content there and just like push out reels and see if that changes some of what I'm making every month there.
That's good. Yeah. I'm going to start just going back to the backlog and start throwing up reels. Cause I'm eligible for that. I think the one thing I don't have is the, in-feed ads because I don't have the watch hours or watch minutes or whatever.
It's like 600,000 minutes in 90 days or something like that. Which once you start posting them long forms, You'll get it pretty quick.
Yeah. I just want to get those up. That's not that many view hours, really. It's not like insane. I mean, you get more all over the place. But so I got to get that going. I want to get that going really bad because that's just another place to make money that I'm sleeping on. And that's just stupid. I have the content. It just needs to get put up. So now I just got to find time to do that. So I don't know how I'll do that. That's
easy.
The other thing. So easy.
Have you thought about working with any sort of like company that helps with that? Because like, there are tons of companies that help with that.
Yeah, I talked to Vuv. I talked to Vuv when Jason walked me over there and was like, hey, go talk to these people. So I walked over there and talked to them.
He used them?
Yeah. Yeah, that's who he uses.
They take like 50% though.
You can negotiate it. I negotiated it.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. And also too, it's like I have this thought now where I'm like, well, if you're not paying them for the service and they're taking a percentage and then they're doing all the work and managing it for you and you just have to sit back and let
it
slide, like I would take a cut of that.
They're also better at it than I am. They know like what works and what to pull out of clips. They know when to post. They know I don't have to think about anything. Well worth it. I have like, same but different. So I have these new dust collectors going in and they're really big machines and we make a lot of sawdust here at the business. So I'm looking at buying these machines. They're called briquetting machines and they take sawdust from the hoppers and it goes and it turns it into these fire starter logs. And I just trying to find a way to not have this stuff go to waste. I live in the hills and a lot of people use wood burning stoves to heat their homes up here and it will sell. But I have no time for anything like that. So
I was going to say, is it worth?
Well, there's a local guy who I have come do like yard work sometimes. He's like a handyman type of guy. And I talked to him. I was like, look, dude, if I buy this machine, will you basically operate it and make sure it does it? And then you can sell these things. And then I get like 40%. And he's like, oh, yeah. So
he would love that.
Yeah, I was like, you just come operate it and you handle this and, you know, you got to come do it every once in a while and actually get these things sold. And he's like, oh, for sure. So that kind of stuff, it's similar to the Vuv thing. Like, I have zero time or desire to be involved in that thing, but it's a great way to keep this stuff off of, like, I literally just have massive piles of sawdust on the sides of my, all over my property. Like, they're all over the place, and I need to figure out a better way to handle it. And honestly, paying to get rid of it makes zero sense to me because it's expensive. Like, I'll have my buddy come with his dump trailer. We'll load it up, and it costs me like $400 to get rid of all the sawdust sometimes. And if I can make money on it and it's being taken care of for me, why not? It's the same thing with
food. Also, like, 40% of something is better than 40% of nothing.
Yeah, or if you paying just don't $400 have that time. Every quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, losing, I just don't have time. If I'm making some, like, it's like just another, like, small source of income. And then I'll use them too. Like, I'll use them. Like, I'll use a little fire starter log. So I do fire pits and I have my fireplace. So it's just one of those things where it's like, man, sometimes you just got to figure out how to make things work in your favor. And it's really hard to be like, but I want, or it's really easy to be like, I want all the money. I want all the money from this. And it's like, it's the sanity thing. It's the $240 in pine. Is it even worth it? Yeah. Like, it's just not even worth
exactly.
it. Like, it's like you just get it done. Like, you're like, oh yeah, okay, this makes way more sense. Like, you're prioritizing your mental health.
Right. Which is where I'm also been like thinking about that.
That always is like my rule. Yeah, but like, that's my rule. Is like, I will say, like, if there's a thing and I sit back and I say, okay, is my sanity worth more than like $500? Right? Then it's like, I'll do it. But if it's like, I know that if I'm going to invest in something and it's going to put me in a situation where I'm anxious about paying the bills next month, well, then it's not worth my sanity, right? Like, that's always kind of like the rule I go back to.
It's important. You got to take care of yourself because not a lot of other people will do that for you. I mean, other people can't do it for you in those situations. Like, you need to, like, I'm trying to focus on my mental health right now, like, a lot, because I get to the end of the day and I'm just like, God, man, I've done all this stuff all day long. And I've like made no time for myself. And it's like, why am I even doing any of this? You really have to force yourself into that time. Otherwise you're just working to work. And it's so easy to fall into that trap when you're self-employed. It's so easy to fall into that trap.
It is.
Like, yeah. You're like, I did this to make myself happy and I'm not happy. That's when, like, you got to take a step back.
Yeah. It can just get, like, really brutal. So, treat yourself or whatever. You got to treat yourself.
Wait, so going back to the engagement thing for a second, do you guys notice, like, when you put up a sponsored post that, like, that post just freaking eats it? Like, it's just bad.
Oh,
like,
every time I tag or do it, every time, it's insane. And I saw, so do you guys get those notifications in your, like, your profile when you go into Instagram where it's like, oh, if you do this, it's really good. Have you ever seen that? Where, like, I have one come down the other day where it's like, try mixing up your posts with doing a, like, a still photo and a video in the carousel. Like, I'll get random things like that, so I'll do it, and then they do really well. It's obviously Instagram telling me to do that. It's like when you're in the YouTube studio and they're like, oh, video's over. I mean, this was like an aha moment for Pete and I when we're doing the channel. It's like, video's over 8 minutes can have mid-roll ads. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's just telling me videos need to be over 8 minutes for YouTube.
You need to do that. Yeah.
Them. Yeah. Like, it's just like, you need to read these prompts. Not as like, it's not Instagram or these platforms just randomly telling you this stuff. It's them telling you to do it so that they'll push your product. So, I saw a few months ago that photo carousels are doing better in my little.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I just posted one and it did horrible. So
they're like my best content right now. Like, I get my most engagement from those carousel photo posts right now. That's where I'm seeing the most from. But I'm also posting like pretty nice beauty shots of like finished pieces. But I mean, your shots
they're
are gorgeous.
Easy to do.
You're like, Sam, stop posting horrible photos of your stuff.
If
and maybe you'll have
bad,
better engagement.
It would probably crush. I mean,
well, no, but, like, it pisses me off because, like, can't we? I don't know why we can't just go back to the days of like social media being social media. Like, everything has to be like, work harder, try this, get more engagement. Like, I get that a lot of us make a living off of it, but like, it just takes the fun out of it a little bit. And look, it is a free platform. Like, we don't owe those platforms anything. The fact that we make a living off of them is just like a bonus. But doesn't it always feel like you're kind of feeling peer pressured by social media to like try harder and post more and engage more and spend more time? And it's like, I just want to post a picture of my dog, and like, people who like dogs can also love him back. And why can't it be, just be that easy like it used to be?
I'm really actively trying to not, I mean, outside of YouTube, I should say, like, YouTube, I'm really trying to like dump my energy into as much as I can. But like with Instagram, I'm just really like, yeah, you know, I'm pretty happy with where I'm at on Instagram. Like,
that's where I'm at.
It's fine. That's fine. Like, and I'm, also, I don't really need to.
I feel like Meta plays the roller coaster of engagement. Like, they'll just give you all a taste time of that really good view because they want mm-hmm. you to pay. Same with them sponsorship mm-hmm. posts. They want that sponsor to put money behind that post and push it, which is why I think they give you a good taste for a couple of weeks. Then your engagement drops. So they're like, oh, maybe try throwing whatever amount of dollars at this post to get X amount of engagement.
Yeah, but then like the question then is like, do they require – so like – I haven't done that because I toy with like, okay, well, if I put money behind a post, are they going to want me to put money behind every post now? Like, are all my posts going to tank? Because they're going to be like, oh, well, she's paying for the engagement. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that makes me nervous.
It's different if you're selling a product. If I was trying to get cutting board sales, I would make like a dedicated post for that and then throw a bunch of money behind that. But really, I'm essentially just selling our content. So I'm not really going for cutting board sales. So it just feels weird to pay to get reach on something that I'm creating for a reach, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, and I think like it's different, like, right? Because like, yes, paying for a post is basically advertising yourself or your content or what you're selling. And like, if you're selling a physical good, I think that's great. Hey, even if you're selling content, I think that's great. But you kind of have to have those, you know, moments where you sit back and you say, okay, like, how far does this go? How long do I invest in this? Do I have to invest in every post? Because that's the part that makes me a little nervous, right? Is like, again, I feel like right now I am very grateful for the engagement I have in my community online. And I do worry that if I ever boost a post that like, I'm not like, they're going to throttle my stuff or like my engagement's not going to be there the same way. So like, I get nervous about it. But I guess, I don't know, I guess you have to kind of look at it as a form of advertisement though. And that's why a lot of people do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's your platform, which it's such a weird like dichotomy because you're like, I invested my time to build this, but ultimately mm-hmm. it's like what you said earlier. It's like, it's their platform. I mean, it's their game. Right. We just have to play it, and you know, and I'll hear people be like, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, and it's like, fine, don't do this, don't do that. But you're not going to grow under your terms. You have to grow under their terms every time, and that's the real harsh reality of these platforms. It's like, you put all your time into it. Yes, that is true. And no one can take that from you. But if you don't play their games, you won't be able to maximize your potential on that platform. And that's a really hard pill to swallow, especially when you've put this kind of time in there. And I'll have conversations with people and they'll be like, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And it's like, I just don't care to anymore. I just don't. Like, I'm happy with my whatever my size is right now. I'm happy with the engagement I have. Does it feel really good when a post blows up like the one yesterday? Yeah, it's great. But it's just another example of them controlling the entire thing for their own means. They don't care about us. They care about us in a grant and like a larger sense. They want people on their platform generating content so they can charge for ad space and ad revenue. That's all they care about. But honestly, if I stop posting, it makes no difference in the grand scheme.
No.
They'll be like,
it's a numbers game for them.
Yeah, they just, it's an overall numbers game. Like, the individual channels don't count and that you just don't care. And the only people that care about it is your audience. So you need to think about really when you're doing it, like, how does this affect my audience? Like, how am I going to affect my audience? Is this going to negatively affect them? Am I going to lose trust? Am I going to lose whatever standing, whatever it is with them you're going to lose? You got to think about that because that's really the only thing you can kind of control on the platforms. It's really frustrating. And Sam, my post came up first for you, and that doesn't happen normally, I'm assuming, you know? And that's, no. I know that's not happening
and
for a lot of people.
And I have you starred as a favorite. And that I have you too. Starred I know, as a that's favorite. Same.
Yeah. And they're useless.
And you're still
like,
gonna
I have,
come up first for me.
I have you guys starred. I have set, like a handful of other people starred, and on my close friends list, none of those people show up. And I get like, how do I word this without sounding like a dick? I get accounts that like, I'll see content I don't care about a lot. Yeah, I just don't care about.
Your For You page is just random stuff.
Yeah, I'm just, well, not, yeah, it's just like it comes up on my page and I'm like, man, I don't even know why I still follow this person. And it's a lot of that, you know? And I'm like, man, do I even need to trim down who I'm following list even more to cater this thing towards? Because I don't even go on there. I'm rarely on there and I'm like, this is great. A lot of times it's accounts I'm like, I barely engage with. And I feel like I need to like go through and like thin out the crop even more. And I'm not following
a ton of people. I tried that. It didn't do anything.
Yeah. It's just like, gosh, man.
So. I was going to say, so I don't know if you guys have had those phone calls with Meta. Have you guys done those before?
No, I haven't done that.
Okay, so I had a phone call with Meta on like a monthly basis for a period of about, I want to say 6 months last year. And they were like, fine. Like, I was just, I didn't think they were going to be super helpful. I was just curious to see like what it was like to have somebody kind of on the inside to talk to you about these things. Yeah, basically. So, you know, she was really awesome. And like, we would talk about like trends and things like that or whatever. But one of the things that I would talk to her about that I don't think a lot of creators talk to her about, because she like invited me to some panels and stuff for it. But anyway, was that it drives me a little wild that Instagram sits here and tells us exactly this. We need to worry about engagement and who's seeing our stuff and are we following trends and are we staying relevant? And then once in a blue moon, they'll be like, let's talk about creator mental health and let's talk about creator burnout. And it's like, well, you guys are the reason we all are burnt out.
Post 5 times a
day. Like, yeah. And then it's like, you can't, in one hand, be like, we care about our creators' mental health and we care about our creators' well-being. We care about our creators' success. And then on the other hand, be like, by the way, you're not posting enough or doing enough or caring enough or spending enough hours on our platform. Like, that drives me up a wall. It drives 100%. Me so wild.
You have to lean in to what they want you to do, because I pushed back so hard on Reels. Like, I want to post photos. Mm-hmm. How in the world am I going to record all this stuff and edit this stuff and make this happen? But like, fast forward a couple years and that's all I post is Reels. So I need to go back to what Mike's doing. Just, even if it's just filler content, I need to take pictures. It's just way less stressful. And even if they put out a new feature and you use that feature in like the stories or wherever that feature is, it does get way more views. It's
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, if it's, for me, photos are doing well. We all know that like every single page gets treated differently on some level. They do that on purpose so that no one has the actual answer that works. So they're like, they don't make it so it's like a uniform solution out there. It's like they give us this job, but they're giving us zero job description, I think is the best way I've heard it described. And they're like, here's your job. Amazing. What do we do? I don't know. Figure it out. Good luck. And then they smack you on the ass and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. And you're just like,
it's
out
kind
there,
like,
the
worst boss ever, though, right? It's the worst boss ever. Here's a job. Boss. There's no direction. But by the way, you're not working hard enough. Like, all right.
Yeah, all right. We're not hitting those numbers. Come on. Chip, chop, chip. Yeah, it's really frustrating.
I'm also not paying you.
Right. You're not making any money. And we can just terminate your job at any time. But yeah, it's really frustrating. Like, it's really disheartening sometimes. So I feel like for me right now, I'm like really excited that photos are doing well. But also, it's really specific photos, like beauty shots of cool looking pieces of furniture are what's doing well for me. And I don't have any of that right now. Like, I just put up some tables this weekend and they're fine, but they're tables. I make tables all the time. So for me, I just feel like they all kind of start to bleed together. But like, when I'll do like a really cool piece that's like pretty unique and looks neat and we can get some really cool shots of it, those do well. So now I'm under this pressure to like make some really cool piece that I can get a cool photo of. And I'm just like, I don't have any of that coming up right now. So I don't know. None of it's easy. It's just making time and prioritizing what actually works. It's just hard to prioritize everything because there's like 500 things we all have to prioritize.
Exactly. So, I always like the quote, like, you could do anything, but you can't do everything is like one of my favorite quotes. Right. And I use it all the time because it's true. Like, yeah, you could put your mind to anything. You could do anything you want, but you have to also recognize you can't do it all. Right. And so, you know, you have to prioritize sometimes. And, you know, it, for me, like, again, I feel like I'm redundant in this, but this is why I always preach having a blog or a website, because like, you own that and you control that, and you, no one's going to take that away from you. And even though it may not be as trendy and cool as posting TikToks or Reels, like, I know that that's not going anywhere, so I put my like priority there. You know,
can we talk about blogs for a second? I want to hear this. So yeah, I figured you'd be down. Am I too late on that? I feel like
You're not. I'll tell you why. Okay. So first of all, you're never too late to start a blog. Start a blog. It's not dead.
But it's
going to
be like
dying,
years, right? Before
anywhere.
It gets traction.
No, not necessarily. Because if you are doing something that has some great SEO and people are looking for it, like, go on Google Trends, right? Google Trends, you type in a keyword and whatever keyword's there, it's going to tell you if it's trending, right? And if you happen to like, I don't know, let's say how to make a dining table is trending, and then you put up a post, how to make a dining table, like, you are likely to get hits on that website because that is what people are searching for. Like, SEO isn't going anywhere. When you open Google and you type in anything in the entire world into Google, that is SEO, right? So if you're posting anything about what someone is looking for, they're going to find your website. And you already right. have enough content on other platforms that it's going to boost your visibility. So like if you're, you know, putting your YouTube videos and embedding them in your content on your website, Google automatically is going to want to push that because now you're giving multiple forms of information on one page that people are going to get stuck and look at. So, you know, you're not too late to the game by any means. And if you want a little hack for how to kind of get more visibility right away, then go into Google Trends and start typing some stuff in and see what's trending.
Okay. Yeah, I want to pay someone to do that. Like, I'd love to pay someone to go through my videos and make blog posts on each one of the videos, and then just other items as well. I mean, there's stuff to do. So,
yeah, that's what I have now. I mean, I've outsourced that, and like, it's been amazing because like the content's already there. I've already put the time into the content. The video's already there. So essentially the script for the blog is there. The screen grabs are already there. The video's already there to embed, like all the information's there. So what I always say is like, if you have a YouTube channel and you want to start a website, like definitely do it, because in a sense, like that's almost the way to go because the content is already existing somewhere else. You just got to put it in writing instead of in a visual, like movie format.
But also, like, are blogs dying? They never will, because just think of, like, if I want to cook something for dinner tonight, odds are I'm going to look up, it's going to be a blog, because I just don't really want to watch a video. I just want to skim through it, see the
valid point.
What materials I need and how long it's going to take me, and boom, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best argument for it, for sure. Like, anytime any of us search for anything where we need assistance, it's always going to return with a blog. And we're typically either going to watch 100%. A video or a blog or both. I mean, that's typically how it's going to go. So yeah, it's smart. All right. I was thinking about this since our last conversation about blogs, and I'm like, man, am I late to the game?
But no, yeah, you're not late to the game. And I tell everybody to start one. It's not going anywhere. Yeah, right. What is the internet? No, it's not going anywhere. It's not dying. In fact, actually, like, I don't always read like trends for creators, but one kind of got targeted to me recently and I got sucked down the rabbit hole, and it sounds like some brands are paying for blog posts again. Like, SEO is a big thing that they're focusing on, because guess what? If a brand is paying for an Instagram post or a TikTok, you probably have about a 24-hour lifespan on that thing. And people are watching it for about 24 hours and it's gone. And then you can't really find it ever again, right? You can try, but like, good luck. But like with a website, that thing is going to last forever. It's totally evergreen. It's highly searchable. It's highly clickable. It's highly, there's high click-through in the sense of, if a brand is paying for a product placement and you're tagging that in your blog post, like, that's there forever. It's easy to find. And that is why whenever I post anything on Instagram or TikTok, I'm always like, if you want the products and materials for this, you got to go to my website, because that's always there. It's never going anywhere. And then I don't have to worry about a story expiring or a highlight expiring. Like, it's just there, right? And so a lot of brands are paying for this now because they're realizing, oh crap, we're paying for something that's going to be there forever that people can find really easily.
Mm-hmm. We also have this crazy thing now called AI that is just a game changer with that kind of stuff.
What's that?
Everything I write, I run it through the AI robot. And I know a guy who uses AI to write a blog.
I love when he goes, I know a guy. I need to know more about this guy. I know a guy.
I will tell you it is after the podcast. But they have an outdoor blog and they compare outdoor apparel. So like hiking in the mountain, top 5 backpacks. And the whole blog is generated by AI, and they push affiliate links. 100% AI, affiliate links, Amazon. Okay.
There's a blessing and a curse to this. So the running theory right now is that Google is starting to crack down on that a little bit. I do not know if that is actually confirmed or not. It's just a little bit of a rumor mill that I'm hearing running around.
What are they cracking down Google, on?
They're cracking down on AI. People using like ChatGPT or like AI to write their blog posts. I don't know if that's true. Like, don't like take that at face value. It's just a rumor mill I'm hearing about and some rumblings in these like blog.
Why would they do that?
Things, but because it's not considered like organic. Like, it's not considered like it's considered basically like a cheat code in a way. It's like an easy way out.
Gotcha.
But they can tell somehow, because it was when it first came out, it was an issue in colleges and high schools but now there's a way to scan it and
there's AI that's scanning for AI now.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But it's really problematic because it has a bunch of errors in it. So like, you know, students and professors alike are complaining about that too. Because people are getting flagged for using AI and they aren't.
So and also, like, how do you go ahead and prove that you didn't at that point?
Right.
Because I don't know. Yeah, I can get the robot to sound pretty legit after a few renditions of whatever I'm trying to write.
I paid for the premium ChatGPT, and it's actually
images and
everything,
right?
It's blowing my mind. Yeah, it's actually, I've been using it for a lot of stuff. Like, I mean, for our podcast, for the show notes, we use a program called Riverside for this podcast. That's where we're recording into right now. It creates a transcript of everything we're all saying. And then it takes that transcript and it creates a show description of this show. I'm taking the AI generated show description from Riverside, putting it into ChatGPT, and I'm saying, turn this into a podcast description. And I say, make it more casual, tighten it up. And I get it down to where it's like 5 sentences. And that's how we're getting the show description now. And it sounds really good. Like, it's way better than I can write.
Way better than I could ever do it. So, like, and then it's like, I also make it cool.
I want more friends, and it'll edit it to where it's like actually like something decent worth reading, you know? It's weird.
And then I take that same post and condense it and put it on the Instagram.
Yep. Well, so here's something creepy. So I recently had somebody doing captions for one of my videos, and they put, like, you know, my whole transcript, same thing, of YouTube into ChatGPT. And then, sorry for all the banging in the background. That's all the work that's happening in my house while we're see. Look, I can hang out with you guys because I have work happening in my house. So they took the whole transcript and they were like, condense this into 3 sentences using DIY Huntress's voice. And then they were like, here are some descriptors about how she would talk, right? And then after like 1 or 2 more prompts, it literally was like, hey friends, today I'm going to show you how to do a trendy lime wash wall in my living room. Let's get started. And I was like, oh my God, it's me. I didn't like it. I was like, this is AI Sam is coming, actually going to come take over the world, you guys.
It's a good thing. It's not good. It's really scary.
Oh God. I thought we agreed that AI Sam was not that cool. Like, why is this a good thing?
AI Sam is not as cool as real Sam, for sure.
AI Sam is coming for all of us.
Pete, I work with a guy for the YouTube channel. His name's Pete, and he's like very artsy. And he's a cinematographer. He went to film school, all this stuff. And he loathes AI. And he like sees his industry being decimated by it. And we have these conversations every time we're filming, you know. And it's really interesting because I don't disagree with the points on that side. Like, it is taking away creative things. But for me, on the other hand, it's like I have these things that I need to do and get done. And it's like it just kind of does it. And I understand, like, that mentality is a real slippery slope. Like, it's taking – like, I could be paying someone to do these things for me. But also now I don't have to pay someone to do these things for me, and it just kind of still gets the job done. Like, is it as good as it could be? It's for sure not. Like, if I paid someone to like write me a quick description for the podcast, I don't even think that doesn't even make sense to pay someone for that. Like,
no.
If we as a podcast were like, hey, we're going to find someone to do copy for our podcast, like, there's no, we'll just write it. Like, we're just going to write it. But now we don't have to write it. I can just put it into this program that writes it for us. It's like, why wouldn't I do that? You know, I'm not taking away someone's job. You know what I mean? It just doesn't, right. Isn't a job that it would have never been an option. So
think about it this way, like how Sam just described that they put this information in the robot and do it in this style. At what point can I just upload my hour of footage and be like, hey, edit this video down to 20 minutes in the style of this video here?
It's coming. Like, it's coming.
And then I could just tweak it. Like, it'd be crazy. It would save me like hours.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, that stuff's coming. Like, I actually just tried to plug my latest YouTube video into ChatGPT to see if it will make a blog post for me, just to see what would happen. But it can't actually view videos right now. Like, ChatGPT.
No, you have to put the transcript in.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
How do you generate a transcript?
I think YouTube does that.
YouTube does it? Or there are plugins that'll like do it for you too, that you can just get right on like Chrome and it'll just create a transcript for you.
Interesting.
Huh. I should do that. Cause my videos do have subtitles. I don't know how they're generated, but they're on there.
Hmm.
don't know. I mean, like, I can't really hate on AI right now. Like, I love being able to, I love being able to, like, make a thumbnail for a photo, and then there's, like, a doorway that shouldn't be in the, that looks bad in the thumbnail, and being like, can you remove this doorway? And then it's gone.
Like,
oh my
this.
God, it's magic every time. I love it. You know, like,
you don't have to learn Photoshop.
And like, I do know Photoshop, and I could very easily remove that doorway all by myself.
It's
but
so
AI
much faster.
Is much faster. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so.
it's a time thing.
Yeah,
it's totally a time thing. And you're just like, this is so much better. It's just like, how do you argue it as a person who's running a business and trying to get so much done in such a short period of time? And as people, we're running businesses and we're creating content around it. And there's just all these things where it's like, I can literally type real quick, push a button, and then like 5 seconds later, the thing I need is done. It's like, man, that's really, really tempting. And honestly, like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, it works. Like, it just works. Like, I don't know. I do understand the argument of, like, this is the same conversation that was happening when computers came out. Like, these people are going to lose their jobs. Accountants are going to lose their jobs. It's like, yeah, kind of, but they get shifted into this new thing. And I know they're talking about, like, AI is actually going to eliminate the need for CPAs in these different industries. And it's like, sure, that's true. But also, like, probably not. Like, they're probably still going to need to, like, have people overseeing things.
Someone still needs to monitor it.
And, like, I'm not losing my job to an AI. So it's really easy for me to be like, nah, it's going to be cool. Like, it'll shake out and you'll figure it out. But it will shake out and they'll figure it out. Like, I really feel like that's the case. Like, we always end up, the society just kind of adjusts and pivots, and it does change how things go moving forward. But I feel like everything kind of changes everything moving forward. That's just how time works. Things change things. That's just how it goes. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I also think like there's still a value for like what we can do as humans. And like, yeah, like is like, you know, I know a lot of artists are really upset about AI, and I totally get it. I totally understand why.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
sure.
But at the same, 100%. But for me personally, like, I would rather hire an artist to make me a custom piece of work than use AI to make me a custom piece of work. And that's just me. It's like a human experience type thing. And I know that there are many other people who feel the same way as I do in that regard. And so, like, I think, you know, even if we're seeing this rise of AI, like, there still is going to be a want and a need for like that human component.
People that are going to do it are going to hire somebody no matter what, and like the people that can't afford it couldn't afford it in the first place, so they're going to use AI, if that made any sense.
But also the AI imaging is just not quite there yet either, unless you're like removing the doorway. But if you're like, generate me this image, usually it's a little spotty. Don't do it.
Yeah, have you seen it try to make hands? Because it's a wild ride.
Yeah, I said hey, turn this thumb into make this into an AI thumb or something like that. I just filtered it through and it spit out the other side, and it was just nothing anywhere near. Like, it was so far off. It was ridiculous. So it's just, we're not there.
No, actually funny. So there was like, you know, like when you take your like stupid thumbnail faces for YouTube. So like, I took one and I had like my arms kind of like on my hips. And so I had like part of my arm cut off, and like, I was going to crop it, but just for shits, I was like, this would be so funny to see what AI does if I ask it to fill in my missing piece of my arm. And it made
elephant.
It made, guys, the hairiest masculine arm I've ever seen attached to my elbow.
I would click on that thumb amazing. For sure.
It was so good. I think I still have it saved. I think I need to like send it to you guys. It's so good.
Yes, you do.
Your A/B testing.
Just A/B test it, please.
I'm gonna A/B test it, where it's like me holding like a drill in one hand, and then the other arm is just half my real arm to my elbow, and then a super masculine, hairy like.
All the trolls are gonna come out and be like, "I told you she was faking it. I knew it. It's your dad."
They're gonna be like, "We knew it was photoshopped." I'm like, "Have you actually seen what my arm looks like in real life? How do you know?"
Maybe
it's actually that hairy.
Yeah, I think you should run one of those. That'd be fun. Hey, guys hear that? Like, some channels with over 50,000 subs are getting we may have talked about this, but are getting A/B testing for their thumbnails.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't have it, and I'm jealous. I don't want
to
talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like that sounds dope. Like,
then they can run up to 4 thumbnails at a time simultaneously. So it's not like TubeBuddy. Supposedly, it's not like TubeBuddy, where TubeBuddy will like put one up for 24 hours and another one, and then the first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, they're
one,
distributing like, them at the same time.
Yeah,
it's real time.
You can do 4 yeah. of them, and they distribute them at the same that's, time. Which I'm like, are you so kidding me? How do I get that?
I don't. I mean, that just makes yeah. it better for YouTube too. Like, if videos are going to get better click through ratings, like that just helps everyone. Like, I just think that's going to be so helpful.
You would think so. That would be universal for all of the social media platforms. If we're doing better, they're yeah. going to be doing better. But that's
exactly.
I did for like a week. I did have the ability to change my thumbnail for my reels. I was able to put.
What?
2 to 3 options, I think. For my reels, you know, you can like go through the and select the one, or you can upload a photo. I was able to put 2 in there at once for like a week. I get stuff
how do you
tested
get all these
on my
cool
page
Instagram
a lot.
Things. What
I don't,
are you paying
I don't know.
Off
I get
Instagram.
These random tests. I spend $14.99 a month that everyone else does. No, I mean, and even that, I'm just like, do I even need to do that anymore? Like, I don't even know. Like, it's not. I don't know. I probably
no, because it, you still can't get help.
Yeah, right.
That is, you should be able to like reach out for them. They've never answered us.
Yeah, I tried to get help the other day and. Haven't heard anything. It's been like over a week.
Really?
Yeah.
That's trash. That's trash.
Good thing we're paying.
Yeah, right? Glad I'm paying $14.99 a month.
Yeah, that's... I don't know if what my thoughts are on that. I think it's... It hasn't hurt anything, but it's definitely not helping me. They're just getting money in their pocket, so...
Yeah. But for anyway. Me, it's the security of the channel that I'm paying for, because I spent so much time in building the channel that... It
yeah,
just prevents you from getting hacked
amazing.
And all that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. Like I couldn't even handle that. Like, I don't even know. I just shut down. You lose all that time and money into something. That's just a nightmare. So anyway, yes, this is a good show. You guys want to call it?
Our
wait, we should talk real quick before we wrap up. We should, I know what is this? I never know what episode we're on. 6, 7. What are we on right now?
5 or 6, 5 definitely. Or 6.
Yeah.
Those.
See. Okay. Well. Sure. Either way, at this moment in time, because we're all transparent here, we don't pretend like we are, you know, making magic here. We just released episode 3 as we're recording this, and we came to the realization last night when we were talking that our podcast is what top 70 and what? What is the?
We hobbies. Were number 6 in hobbies for a
after two episodes, we were number 6 in hobbies, and that's thanks to all of you guys listening, and like thank you for being rad and for being
that's
here and for
huge.
Hanging out like, with us while we all just like BS together. I'm obsessed with all of you.
Thank you.
But you also removed that one podcast too, so that probably dropped us because you removed those whatever 300 downloads we have.
I unpublished episode 0. So that's only available for the patrons. Actually, I need to put that up for the patrons. So that's only up for the
nice
patrons.
Job.
And yeah, I need to get that up there. So I'll do that right after we get off this call. But like we removed that one. So that it's really interesting how it, I mean, it's like spikes. Like if it's single day downloads, I think for those charts, like I think it really is just based on that day of downloads. So it's not like a long running tally. Because based on long running tallies, we just don't have the kind of downloads that other podcasts have. But for that day, we got for like 4 days in a row, we got a lot of downloads for the site for our channel or for our podcast. So, so many terms I have to remember for all these different platforms. For the size of our podcast, we were in 6th place. That's great. Like that's
for
really
having
exciting,
like two or three episodes, it's really really
yeah,
good. So thank you everyone.
Yeah,
so. If you like our podcast, I know we talk about it, but like let's get rid of some of those. Those other reviews and stick some 5-star reviews in there. That would reviews.
Yeah,
in
we need
great.
Reviews for sure.
we'd appreciate that greatly.
Next week we'll mention this at the top of the show, so it's front of mind. But we really need the reviews are going to help, and really, like I know all of us are getting lots of response from people who are watching the show, like really
Absolutely.
Positive stuff. And so, really, thank you from the like what Sam was just saying, like thank you from the bottom of our hearts, like thank you so much. If you can share the show, that would mean so much to us. Like throw it up in your stories. Yeah. That is so huge. We will for sure share it. All of us will share it.
Yeah. If I see it, I share it.
Yeah. I mean, it means so much and it helps spread the word. I mean, that's our best way to market the show, because if they're probably following you, they're probably in the community, and that helps us target the people we want to hear this show. So we'd really appreciate your help with that a lot. It means a lot too. So Yeah. Good point, Sam. Well, glad you brought that
up. Yes. So on that note, we love you all and we will see you next week. Thanks for being awesome. That's a great way to sign off. We're all doing a heart hands, like you can see. Well, now Coffee's just we were doing hearts here.
Too far.
We're just throwing gang signs. All right. All right. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Bye. This is Self-Made. If you'd like to learn more about the show or its hosts, check the links down below in the bio. And if you think we've earned it, please leave us a 5-star review and share the show with your friends.